We're going to, we should pray for the message. Always pray for the message. If nothing else, make it a selfish prayer. Lord, don't let him bore me to tears. But the other side of that is you might also make it a selfish prayer. Lord, let him say something to me that God wants me to hear. And so let's pray. Lord, I ask that you use the words that I speak today and somehow work that into our lives where it needs to be. And I ask that you would bless it by your Spirit, because otherwise they're just words of man. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'm going to begin a series on the bridges of God and man. In this series we'll look at bridges we brave, which is today, and bridges we build, bridges we burn, how we bridge the gap between God and man, and then the lost bridge in which where we used to live as a church, in which we look at the lost of the world. Sometimes people lose the bridge to God. They need to find that way back, too. Today we begin with bridges we brave. Sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words, and sometimes we have to be very courageous in the things of this life. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, there's a moment in that movie when Indiana Jones has to make a leap of faith and take a step that he's not sure about. And I want to show it to you because it kind of sets the tone for this message.
It's a leap of faith. But you must believe, boy. You must believe.
Bridge you can't see. We're going to look at a bridge that God provided for his people when they were in a life-threatening situation. Bridges. God gave them a land bridge to bridge their desperate situation. You know, bridges are a very common thing for us today. There are plenty of bridges all around the country and the world today, and there are covered bridges and big bridges and long bridges. Bridges like the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, bridges that span lots of water, like the one down near New Orleans over Lake Pontchartrain. In fact, I have a couple of bridges that I want to show you, just bridges. I don't think this wouldn't be, I'd break an ankle for sure if not end up in the water. That one looks tough. You better pay attention there. There's a rock bridge, and that's tricky. That's tricky. They're all going to the cross. You noticed that, didn't you? This one doesn't look particularly good either, but I guess it's a hard way to find another way around there. And this one, they're fixing the bridge while they're walking on it, I think. And it reminds me of the monastery on top of the mountain, and they had to lower a bucket down to bring people up. And one time this guy got in it, and he noticed that the rope was frayed as they were pulling up to the monastery. And he says, "How often do you change the rope on this thing?" He says, "Every time it breaks." Bridges. In Bible times, there were no bridges. The Romans, during the days of Jesus, may have had a few bridges, but there were none of any large significance like we have today. They didn't have the technology, science, or the ability to make structural steel. But there are several times in the Bible when God's people go through water, and we're going to look at the land bridge that God created for the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt today. God created a land bridge in the Red Sea so that the people of God could escape from Egypt. Bridges are the key to getting someplace. You can't get there any other way except across the bridge, you might say. If you look at bridges, that's what they do. They provide a pathway from one place to another place, or from one time in our lives to another time in our lives, from one situation or circumstance in our lives to another situation or circumstance in our lives. And a bridge is a very clear model and picture for all of us. It is a picture of getting from where you are to where you are going. And when you look at the Bible, the Lord God provides a pathway and a bridge of taking his people from one place to another as he leads them on their ways of life. The Bible also shows us that God does that with some kind of supernatural intervention that in effect becomes the bridge. Today I want to look at the Red Sea crossing. But there are a couple times that it happens at the Jordan River as well when there was water involved. Today, we're looking at a demonstration of God's actions in helping people bridge their life situations. I would like for us to read together Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Here we go. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be stand still." Now, every time I read those words in the Bible, they're kind of like sawdust or straw to me, unless I think of the movie The Ten Commandments, which took place back in the 50s, I think, or where Charlton Heston stood on that rocky point at the Red Sea, and he says these same words that we just read. Now, I want to show you the clip from that movie when that took place, because it kind of brings those two verses to life.
10 times you have seen the miracles of the Lord, and still you have no faith. Lord!
Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you took us away to die in the wilderness?
Why must we die?
Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord of hosts will do battle for us. Behold his mighty hand.
Water piled up there. You know, back when that movie came out, I was just a kid, and when I saw that movie, it was truly amazing, the special effects, obviously. When Charlton speaks and he says, "Stand still and see the," I need a staff. "See the salvation of the Lord." Even if you didn't believe in God, you would stand still. In this moment, God does something miraculous. He bridges the gap between life and death for these people. And this moment in the Bible shows how God brings people through that life-threatening situations or things in their life. Today, I begin this series on the bridges of God and man and the bridges we all face. Today, this bridge takes courage to move into what God is opening up. You know, it's tough to walk through a miracle sometimes. This is a bridge that you have to brave. And for these people, they would have to be very courageous to walk through this land bridge that God creates. And the truth is, for some of us, we come upon bridges that God creates in front of us. But it takes all that we have just to walk across that bridge and walk through the miracle. Before these people even get to this miracle, though, there's a pathway that they walk just to get to the miracle. Now, everybody here needs a miracle at some point in their lives. There may be somebody here today who needs a miracle right now. I don't know. The world has needed a miracle at different times. The problem is that we don't have our minds right when it comes to miracles that bridges the gaps in our lives. Miracles don't happen like most people think they do. We have this idea that some huge arm kind of reaches down out of heaven, or a wand sparkles and stardust comes off of it and just kind of floats down and covers the circumstance, or like Cinderella, presto changeo, and everything's the way we want it to be. Well, miracles don't happen that way most of the time. Usually, miracles occur with a set of things that lead up to them, and then you move into them. The picture of how God works at the Red Sea has some lessons in it we can apply to our own lives. There are three things that I've noticed in this story that demonstrate how God bridges the gap and provides a miracle for these people. The first aspect is that you may need a miracle. These two verses that we just read are a culmination of a journey in their lives as a people. They're standing on the brink of a dying moment. They don't know what God is going to do to intervene for them. They don't know anything. They haven't read the book. They haven't seen the movie. They don't know. They're just living their lives, just like us. They don't know that God is going to create a bridge to new life for them. All they know is that they have already been through the 10 plagues, that God has broken the bondage of their slavery down in Egypt. God had acted miraculously with those plagues, and he had protected them from the destructiveness that came with those. They had walked through that time when the angel of death had moved through the land, and how the blood of the Passover lamb on the doors had shielded them from the power of death. They had already walked in that area. By the way, this is not just a story. It's something that we can look at. It's a picture of God's redemptive plan to save us with the blood of Jesus. Passover lamb was a forecast of what God would do for all of us when he sent his son Jesus to take away the sins of the world. Sin has a way that only brings destruction and death into our lives. I've seen businesses come apart, homes get broken, divorce destroys, societies disintegrate, churches get hijacked and destroyed, because sin has a death-dealing power in terms of how things work. These people were in line for a miracle, and they came out of their bondage in Egypt. Some of us, by the way, are in line for a miracle. When we come out of the bondage of sin in our own lives, sometimes it takes a miracle, whether it comes from us or from people around us. We need help. The second aspect that you may notice if you're in line for a miracle is that things can get very puzzling. You can get confused. You know, you can get puzzled by how God leads you and how he seems to be working in your life. In this picture of the people of Israel, they are puzzled by God's leading. Read with me Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18. Here we go. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, "Lest the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt." But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Now, you got to understand something. These people aren't stupid. They're not dumb. They come out of the land. They know where this promised land is. And if you check your GPS, that's your God positioning system, I mean, they had a pillar of fire and cloud that was going before them. The map says, though, go northeast. God says, go southeast. So they end up going southeast, and then they get blocked by the sea, and the people say, what's going on here? We don't understand. Now, the explanation is given to us and to Moses, but the people don't know. Read with me Exodus 14, verses 1 to 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of... You got to have a seminary education to say that word. Pirathoth. Between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon, you shall encamp over against it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now notice in verse 1 it says, then Lord said to Moses, okay? Now remember, they haven't seen the movie. They haven't read the book. And notice here that God is talking to Moses, not to the people. So the people are in the dark, except that they're following this pillar of fire and cloud that's out there. By the way, you haven't read your book or seen your movie, have you? You may be in the dark as well about what God is doing in your life. The way of the Lord often will send us on pathways that kind of puzzle us. These pathways in our life journeys can be very confusing. They can be very frustrating at times. But I want you to know that you may be in line for a miracle bridge if you are puzzled by God's pathways. There's got to be somebody here today or somebody who hears this on CD down the road someplace, and you're not even sure how things got to the way they are in terms of your life. But you know that it's not your idea of the promised land and the road to the promised land in your life. Just remember that the Bible tells us why he brought them the way that was confusing and appeared to be stupid. They weren't ready for a fight, and the world needed to think that they were at their mercy. It looked like they were being blocked, but they are about to be blessed. Sometimes we're not ready for something God is going to do in our lives, so he sends us on a path that is very confusing for us. It's God's grace that takes us along this path. Now, the Lord said to Moses here, he says, you don't want them to go to the straight way because they're not prepared for a battle that they would have to face there. They may be equipped for battle, but they aren't trained for battle. And the shorter way would put them into a situation they're not prepared for. And he told Moses this, but the people were in the dark, except for that pillar of fire out there that gave them light and led them. Sometimes we're also in the dark, except for the light of the Bible, and that light's kind of up where we are right now, but the future may look very confusing. When it seems God is taking you on a weird path, remember his grace is directing you. He may not design everything you face, but his grace is present with you to see you through it. God gives you a nightlight, you might say, in his word, and he will lead you and he will cover you through those tough times. And you're in a line for a miracle, and you may not even recognize the path that you're on right now. The bridge that God has for you is out there someplace, but the pathway to that miracle brings you through some puzzling things in terms of your life. The third thing that may indicate that you're in line for a miracle bridge of your own is when the enemy is breathing down your neck. I don't know if anybody here can identify with this, but boy, I can. When the enemy is breathing down your neck. Read with me Exodus 14, verses 9 and 10. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the sea by that place again, in front of Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were in great fear. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. Anybody can identify with this scenario? It seems you get rid of a problem, and suddenly it's right there behind you again. I've seen a lot of movies where the hero is fighting a monster or an evil or a bad guy, and for the last 15 minutes of the movie, they have that final battle, and finally, they think they've killed it or him or whatever, and he kisses the girl or she hugs that guy or kid, and up jumps the monster or that evil person. Oh my God, he's back and alive again. I especially appreciate Sigourney Weaver in Aliens 2, where she fights the mother alien, and it seems like she had to kill that gal 5 or 6 times. She keeps coming back. By the way, this doesn't happen just in movies. It happened right here at the Red Sea in the Bible. The people of Israel are at the Red Sea. They shout, "Praise God, we're out of Egypt and no longer slaves." They look back, and here comes that monster Pharaoh, and he's right on their tail. You know, it's kind of fun to describe it that way, but I guarantee you it is not much fun when it happens to you. Just when it seems we're free of one thing or one circumstance or one problem, something else will come up, and the enemy is breathing down your neck once again. And when this happens, you need to get one thing straight. You're in line for a miracle. This is not just, "I need a miracle," according to God's way. You're in line for a miracle. You may be puzzled by the pathway, and the enemy may be breathing down your neck, but it means the miracle bridge is out there. And don't let discouragement get a hold of you, because there is bravery and courage that is needed when it comes to some of the bridges of God and some of the bridges that we have to cross in this life. It requires that we be brave. I want you to think about these people. They are facing the sea, wondering why God brought them to this point. It doesn't look like the direction God wanted them to go. They thought they were through with Pharaoh, and here he is again, right on their tail. "God, you gave us this promise about this land. Why did you spare us in Egypt if all we're going to do is die out here? We don't understand. We don't get it. What is this all about? Promises, promises. All we hear is promises." Read the Exodus 14:10 again. Here we go. "When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were in great fear, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord." These people are afraid, and well, they should be. And in just a few minutes, God is going to use miracle power to open up a land bridge, but they don't know that. They are afraid. You take this stuff and you take these people and get them out of the stained glass of the church, because they are real people like you and me. So what about us? You just receive a bad report about your physical condition. You just lost your job. A crisis comes down in some aspect of your life. Your marriage is on the rocks. It looks like a shipwreck. I've had crises in my life, but I also take tours in other people's lives, and I've got phone calls that have to do with people, and some of you actually, and when you hear it, it's kind of like an icicle goes through your heart at that point. You feel fear. Sometimes we think that just because we're filled with fear, it somehow negates our faith, or that we're not going to get an answer from God. I want you to know that fear is not a disqualifying factor. I don't know how many times I've had a sense of fear in my life or uncertainty in terms of things. It's almost like, you know, because of my fear, oh, God, I need to apologize to you because I'm afraid. Well, he knows our hearts. Sometimes we can be loaded with fear and doubts. All that proves is you're human. The key is what the people of Israel did. They called out to the Lord, and they bellyached to the preacher. I don't know, there's a principle there, I think. But the principle is not how you feel, but who you call on. Call upon the Lord and remember he brought you to where you are right now. He knows where you are. He has not lost your address. Read with me Exodus 14, 11, and 12. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." This is what they did. They called upon God and they bellyached to Moses. They basically said, "Oh Lord, we call on you. And Moses, you're an idiot." They are so human. I know I may call on the Lord, but I've got to find somebody or something to blame. And we all do it. It's also true, though, that it is God we're irritated with in reality, isn't it? We're irritated with God because we don't have the nerve to say it to him, and so we go after somebody else. Moses is having the heat put on him in this because the people are unhappy with his leadership. Well, Moses doesn't let them get to him. Read with me Exodus 14, 13, and 14. "And Moses said to the people, 'Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be still.'" Now, when he says that, of course, that's what Charlton Heston said in the movie. When he says that, God comes right back on the leadership. That's Moses. Read with me verse 15 here. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward.'" Notice what he says. He tells Moses, "Get the people moving." That's what he says. Here's the thing about some miracles. Even though the sea opens and everybody's standing there looking at it and say, "Well, will you look at that? Wow, that's something. It's a land bridge. God has made a land bridge. Wow, will you look at that?" Well, I'm not going through that miracle. I mean, Moses did tell us to just stand still. There's not one person that's watching this that says, "Hey, let's go. Let's walk through this." If there wasn't any pressure from Pharaoh behind them, they wouldn't have gone through that. "Hey, you go first." That's why God told Moses, "Get them moving." Can you imagine them walking through on that land bridge, looking up at both sides of all that water? They see all that water piled up. And I tell you what, when you're walking through God's miracle bridge, you're also looking at the sides of that miracle. And it's kind of a funny picture if you think about it, but I tell you what, it wasn't funny to them. Because if you're walking in that bridge, it's not funny. And I tell you what, we have plenty of examples in our lives. And I'll give you an example. A person is diagnosed with cancer and you're walking through the days and you don't even know if the sea is going to open up or not. You know, I've walked with people in that kind of life situation. Some very close to me, by the way. And you're not just walking through the time of the surgery or waiting for the diagnosis of the tissue. you're walking through the first year until you come to the exam that says, well, you're clean after the first year, or you're better after the first year, or the second, or the third, or the fourth year, and on and on. And each time you go and you come along the way and you're walking and the waters are all piled up by the sustaining grace of God, and you're walking through that miracle. I know this. It takes more faith to walk in a miracle than it does to stand on the shore. The pressure of the circumstance moves us into it. Just like Pharaoh chasing after us, the circumstances move us into it. The people of Israel came out on the other side, but Pharaoh would have overtaken them, except that the Lord says, it's time to shut the bridge down, and he closed it on all those Egyptians. So let me just say that in our lives, there are bridges that you have to be brave about. It takes courage. Sometimes it takes all the courage we can muster to cross a miracle bridge in our lives. When the ordeal was over, the people were on the other side. They sang a song which is called the Song of Moses. Read with me Exodus 15, 1 and 2. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. This song is sung again, by the way, in the book of Revelation, where it is joined by us Christians who sing the song of the Lamb as well. If you are going through a miracle that is a bridge to another time or another place or another condition of living, keep walking. Sometimes it seems that like a long time going through it, but by his grace, the walls of water will not drown you. Just keep walking, because some bridges are crossed only with courage and determination. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you with the things of our lives, and some bridges we just have to be brave to walk through them. May this speak to those who need to hear it, in Jesus' name.